Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. This week's sermon podcast and two virtual ice cream cakes are sponsored by Ellen Geller in celebration of her birthday and mine. Thank you so much. Happy birthday to both of us. I appreciate Ellen sponsoring Kiddush every year in honor of our birthdays, and this year it's kind of sad that we can't share the traditional ice cream cakes in person. But since this week is Shabbat Chazon, which is a more subdued Shabbat, I suppose it makes sense that we aren't celebrating with real ice cream cake this year, particularly in light of the current circumstances. Perhaps it's surprising then that even though Parshat Devarim always coincides with Shabbat Chazon, the tone of Devarim at the outset is not all that negative. In fact, it avoids negativity. Devarim begins with a list of different places where the Jewish people traveled in their desert sojourns, but alludes to those locations only indirectly, with names unfamiliar to us. Rashi says Moshe disguised the actual name of each location so as not to evoke dismal memories associated with those names. For example, he lists a place called Dizahav, which is not the actual name. Since part of the name means gold, we can take it as an allusion to the sin of the golden calf. Many commentators ask, why does the Torah do this? After all, the Torah is typically not hesitant to mention negative events. In fact, my Rosh Hashiva Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal used to observe that the Torah rarely says anything good about the Jewish people. He brought this as an evidence that the Torah was sourced directly from God, because the only other explanation is that it was written by an anti-Semite, which would strain credulity. So why does the Torah express things euphemistically in these instances? My other Rosh Hashiva, Yibodo L'chaim, Rav Batzal Radinsky Shlita, asks a similar question about the first words of Masechet Pesachim, which famously begins with the words, Or L'Arba'asar, the light of the 14th, referring to the evening of the 14th, when we check for chametz. The Gemara there explains that the Mishnah avoided the word Lele, evening, even though that would be more apt, because the word Or, light, has a more positive connotation. Why then does the Talmud plainly refer to the evening or night just about everywhere else? A similar question is asked about the story of Noah, where non-kosher animals are characterized as behema asher lo tehora, animals which are not pure, instead of calling them impure. The Torah uses the word impure all the time, so why is this instance handled differently? Based on the Chiddushi Haran, the common denominator of all these passages, Dvarim, Pesachim, and Noach, is that they are at or near the beginning of a book, when it's most important to present a more positive stance so that we can start off on the right foot. However, that explanation raises another question. Why don't we see this approach in opening lines of the other three books of the Torah? What makes Bereshit and Devarim distinctive? Bereshit obviously occupies a distinctive position because it begins the entire Torah. But the truth is that Devarim is perhaps equally significant because it marks the beginning of a book which is unique in the Torah. In the other four books of the Chumash, Moshe is the mouthpiece for God's words. So through Moshe, God is communicating directly with the Jewish people. But in the book of Devarim, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, Moshe speaks his own words. Accordingly, the opening line of Devarim tells us, Eil ha-Devarim asher dibra Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. Sefer Devarim therefore illuminates a fundamental transition. The Jewish people move from the first four books of the Chumash, which are communicating directly from God, to Sefer Devarim, which is a new phase, in which they connect with God through Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. This is a momentous change, and that's why Sefer Devarim is so special. It reveals, as the Sefri elucidates, that the Torah must be transmitted to us through life itself, and particularly through relationships with human beings through our teachers. Some may find this troubling, because God is perfect, and rabbis and teachers are fallible. Believe me, I would know. Indeed, while we should treat them with respect, we must never be hesitant to engage in challenging dialogue with them either. But that is the whole point. God demands that we acquire Torah within a human interaction, with all the imperfection that will entail. This is because the most important element of our learning is the sincerity of the transition of the Torah in the context of a relationship. I think this is a fitting message as we approach Tisha B'Av. There are many righteous Jews who have a strong desire to improve our national situation, especially during these trying times. Understandably, they want Geula, Yeshua, salvation and redemption as soon as possible. As a result, some seek out a specific mechanism to bring Mashiach, using invented buzzwords like Ahavat Chinam and Lashon HaTov, as though our exile were an engineering problem. I think that approach is unfortunate. Sefer Devarim, the book we must begin before Tisha B'Av, teaches us that there is no such mechanism. This Shabbat, we must remember that God has never sought perfection from us. All He wants is sincerity within our relationships with Him, with our teachers, and with each other. And that is the recipe for ending our hardships and this difficult exile once and for all. Shabbat Shalom.